You know, Sean, it's pretty cool that we started this podcast.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
We should help others learn how to start their own podcast.
When we were trying to get the podcast going, we really didn't know what we were doing.
I know, right? Like how to record or how to get our show up on Spotify or Apple Podcast.
Mostly, how do we get people to listen? And of course, how do we make the
The solution is extremely easy.
Anchor! Anchor is the place that you can go to record, host, and distribute your podcast.
And my favorite part, it's easy to use and 100% free.
Oh, but Vicky, it's even better than that.
What? How?
Anchor will match us with amazing sponsors.
Oh my God, that means we can get paid for doing what we love.
Podcast cha-ching!
We use Anchor all the time because it's so easy.
So, y'all, if you want to start your own podcast like we did, just go to anchor.fm/start.
That is anchor.fm/start.
And join us and all the other folks that are already using Anchor.
Yep, all the cool kids are already using anchor.fm/start. So don't you just want to join us?
Vicky, what is wrong with you? Of course they want to join us.
Well, I'm just super excited for them, and I can't wait to hear the podcast.
On anchor.fm/start.
I'm Shauna.
And I'm Vicky.
And you're listening to Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal.
We just want to let you know
that any views or any opinions given during the show and any communication between us and the guests of our show, Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal,
don't reflect those of the station ParaX Radio.
Or any of those other guys out there that play our show.
You, Shauna.
And you, Vicky.
And the other guys that play our show aren't responsible for anything that the guest says or does. And we always ask permission to use original works within our show and give full credit where credit is due.
And now it's time for the show.
Explore the darkness.
Find out what goes bump in the night. Did you hear that?
Did you see that? What's that bright light in the sky? Oh, we so need to investigate.
Calling all witches and sensitives.
Explore the paranormal.
With host
Shauna
and Vicky
from Geeks Paranormal.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
All right, hey everybody, welcome to Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal. I'm your host, Shauna.
And this is Vicky.
And we have a wonderful guest.
So excited about this guest.
We welcome to our show, Jack Kenna.
Yay!
Thank you.
For being here.
So glad you're here with us, Jack.
Hey, I'm not sure I'm glad to be here.
Now he's retracting. He's like, I don't know.
After the conversation we had earlier, I'm not sure. It could be a trouble.
Oh, no.
This is kind of scary. This is a scary moment.
No, I'm happy to be here. I'm glad. Thank you for inviting me on. It's an honor.
Yay.
It is. You're two great ladies. So, you know, thanks for having me.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
I don't know anything about myself.
No,
I thought you guys
either.
Were going
to
do all the talking.
You know, we've been trying to do some research on that, and it just
like,
well,
you didn't read the bio, did you? Okay, I'll read it for you.
I'm a junior.
I'm a junior, me too.
And I'm into web design. I have a bachelor's degree in web design. So, yeah, we're pretty much telling you guys what it is. So,
I don't have a bachelor's degree in it, but I used to design them. But what the hell, you know? I designed our own that we've got right now for Spirits of New England. So, spiritsofnewengland.org. Check it out. You'll find a website.
Yes.
I designed that. I created it. Well, I didn't create the whole thing, but I designed the new version. Anyways, so I'm Jack Kenna. Some people may have seen me on a couple TV shows or something like that.
Just a couple.
Yeah, Haunted Case Files. Paranormal Survivor was the first show I ever did. Did two seasons of that. And I've been involved with all the later seasons in the background, so to speak. A lot of people don't know that, but I help them find new cases, and we're doing all that. But we did do second show I ever did was Haunted Case Files, and we just finished up season 2, which is airing November 18th on the Travel Channel at 9 p.m. And I believe if they run it the way they ran it in Canada, I will be on the first episode, I believe. Sometimes it gets here to the States and they switch around the episodes. So we just never, never know. I know I was on episode 1 up in Canada. It's all finished airing up there, so the Canadians already know what happened. So they're,
well, that's not fair. They're one up on
us. So they're one up
on us. We do have some Canadian friends.
Yeah, we do have some Canadian friends.
Yeah, I have many, so they've already watched it all. They told me it came out really well, so hopefully it did. Although I understand somehow I end up as being an exorcist this year. I don't know how that happened. But.
Wow. That's, go more into that.
The bad television.
Right. And will you be reappearing on Netflix again? Do you know?
I know. You know, they've been trying to get Haunted Case Files on Netflix, so we'll see what happens there. That hasn't happened yet, but I am still on Netflix right now on Paranormal Survivor. Seasons 1 and 2 are on there. I don't think they put season 3 on yet, but that's coming.
Take forever to get the seasons up.
Now, I'm not in season 3, but some good friends of mine are. They're actually already going to be starting work on season 5 of Paranormal Survivor, so the show is doing very well.
Wow, season 5, just 3 hasn't even come out on Netflix.
Yeah, you may catch me on season 5. We don't know yet. We're going to see what happens.
Oh, a little teaser.
It's possibly, but you will see me. It's supposed to be coming down here in 2019. I did film for Haunted Hospitals up in Quebec, which is airing in Quebec right now, or not Quebec, I mean in Toronto, but it's airing in Canada right now, and I hear that's going pretty well up there, and that's Haunted Hospitals, so that was supposed to be coming down here to the States in 2019. Don't know when yet. I'm going to be filming this weekend for a haunting. We've got that we're doing. Our team was involved with Spirits of New England, and then I might also be involved with a second episode of that show for another story, not involving our team per se, but involving me and another friend of mine who had a very similar experience. I can't get into details about that, but so you might see me on 2 episodes of a haunting this coming year. Definitely 1.
Possibly. Oh my goodness. Stay tuned. I cannot wait to
see
this.
To watch. Yeah, we're hoping for a season 3 of Haunted Case Files too, so we're hoping for that. We don't know that yet, but we're working to hope that happens too. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Lots of stuff going on. You know, it's all good. But we're still doing a lot of investigations in the meantime too. A lot of residential stuff. Got a couple cases we're finishing up now. Got a couple more cases that just came up. So got a lot going on. Tons of stuff. So that's who Jack Ken is. That's what he's doing. Hey, he's done some events recently. Just came back from the Hinsdale House. Did my first event down there. It went very well. Everybody had a good time. Although I did get affected by something down there, which wasn't good. Yeah, it wasn't good. And I had to leave the house for a minute. And a friend of mine had to do a little blessing on me, which was fine. Just something trying to influence a little bit, and you know the warning signs. You know the warning signs. You know what's going on. You just get the help. So yeah. I did. I just literally had to stop my friend in mid sentence, and I said, "I gotta go," and I left the house. So it freaked everybody out for a second. Everybody's like, "What's Jack doing? What's going on?" Just walked. What's happening? You know.
Right.
But it was all good after that, and the rest of the night went really well, so it was all okay. So everybody had a good time. So.
Well, that's good.
Well, in your experience, what can you give the other paranormal investigators out there a quick maybe guide to get through review faster?
Right? Oh man, that takes forever.
You know, if somebody knows a faster way to do that, let me know, okay? It takes me hour for hour plus. It takes a little bit longer because you find something, you go through it a couple of times. Is that really something? You gotta double check it. Yeah, no, I got no fast forward. I mean, you know, but you'll probably miss something.
We try to do
as
possible,
but you'll miss something. something out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't want to miss anything. No, we usually go, like, especially because the way we do it in our group, we go from team takes it over to her. She goes through it, throws out what she thinks is not good, and then she passes it to me. And I'm like, frame.
Like, and we're like backing up. We're going forward. We're slowing it down to, you know what I mean? And then it's when in doubt, throw it out.
Throw it out. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what you do. One thing we do is sometimes we'll leave it like we break up the audio and the video for people to review. And you just trust them to present you with whatever they got. And you just go over what they present you.
Yeah.
But that takes time to get into that mode where you've got, you know your investigators, you know your people, you know your team members, and you can trust what they're throwing at you. And then you just review those parts together and decide what to keep and what to throw out. You know, that can speed up the process a little bit, but there's no way to go through audio faster.
No.
Even when people say, well, I got a lot of dead space there. I've found EVPs in the dead space.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, you never absolutely. Know.
You got to go through it.
And you fine finger combing through it because, like, when you think that you, because we had one that was going through it at 1.25 speed.
Oh, yeah.
And I went back through it at like 0.25 speed, I found stuff that they had missed. So it's like, you have to slow it down.
Like, you can't see it.
Well, I just go through it at normal speed. I mean, and I'll listen. If I catch something at normal speed, then I'll slow it down to just a double. Because usually I just listen for something that's not one of us or something that's out of place. Or a voice and that's the other thing. I mean, I've gotten to the point now where I look for more Class A and B stuff. I mean, if I listen to something or catch something that seems odd, I may stop it for a second, boost it, listen to it again. But if I still can't hear it, I'll just let it go because I'm like, I don't know what that is. But if I hear a real voice, I'll go back to that. Even if it's a Class B or whatever, you learn what those are and you learn how to like throw the junk out right away. That can speed up your time. Instead of trying to, it's a Class C, but if I do this to him, that to him, maybe I can filter it out. No, don't bother filtering too much.
Yeah, I know.
The worst case is if you can boost the sound on it and hear it, that's good. I don't do anything else anymore.
I
refuse to, because you can distort sound, you can create something that really wasn't there,
right?
By hoping you're hearing something. So now it's just, if I hear it, I hear it, I'll boost the sound, and that's it. If I still can't quite make it out, I may present it to the people and say, what are you hearing on this? But then again, it still has to sound like a voice,
right?
If it doesn't, or if it's a knock responses, things like that, those are interesting. But you can't, I mean, it's audio, so I mean, Jack is sitting there knocking responses, I can't see what he's doing. I don't know, but I do, or as I look on the video for those to see if it's captured on the video, because you can see people sitting there and you know they're not doing anything, but you're getting knock responses. Or if you do catch it on the audio, I will then take that audio and sync it to the video. So because sometimes it's not caught on the audio of the video, it's only caught on the audio, but you can sync it with your video so that you're getting the direct stuff. And that's easy enough to do with the video software that's out there, because you can pull audio clips and line them up and bring them right one-to-one with the audio that's on that video and run it, and you can hear both audios at the same time. And on the one from the recorder, you're hearing the knock responses. On the audio from the video, you're not, or vice versa. It's a good way to check yourself, because that'll tell you it's probably something paranormal anyway. If it wasn't, I should be catching it on both, and I'm not. So why am I not? Things like that. I mean, there's different things you can do. Yeah, you can get into a lot of detail about it and stuff. But in the end, there's no real fast way.
No, unfortunately.
Audio and video,
Right.
Could take it 20 hours to go through. I'm sorry. That's
20?
Unfortunately. 75 hours. Ours, we usually have 75, 80 hours worth of videos.
maybe make it a simple example there, but you know. 50 hours and it turns into 140. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, how many people are on your team?
He's got two teams.
I've got five? Two teams.
Three teams.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Spirit.
Four teams.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez, Manetti.
What is out in Wayon, California, that I'm part of? And that's more of a, like, you know, thanks, Jack, for being part of our team type of thing. And I get together.
We're going to have to make it part of our team.
It's out in San Diego, San Diego Ghost Hunters. I don't get out there too often, so, you know, I did for a while when I was spending a lot of time out that way. But I am on first team, first and ever team with Spirits of New England. That's who you see us on all the TV shows about Haunted Case Files, Paranormal Survivor. All those cases are from Spirits of New England. Although this year, one of the episodes we're doing on Haunted Case Files is with the Extreme Paranormal Encounter Response Team. Stacy Horton is the founder of that. And I did an event. It was actually kind of an event we did, but we did an after-event investigation of this location where she's had experience before of something kind of taking possession of her. And while we were doing the event, we had something very similar happen. And I can't give you too much detail again, except to say I experienced some really crazy shoot myself. I stopped for a second. Shoot. Yeah, you said it, right?
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on ParaX Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on ParaX?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para X. Stacy, stuff myself. That's going to be on the show, but that was with the Extreme Paranormal Encounter Response Team, who I am part of. I'm part of that team. I also have my own paranormal team that I'm slowly putting together. And I've been wanting to do it for a few years now. And it's the Rensselaer Paranormal Research, REAPER for short. So,
I like it.
REAPER. So, Rensselaer Paranormal Research. I'm from Rensselaer, New York, and that's why it's named that. And so I'm slowly putting that little team together, and we're going to be expanding out a little bit. There's a reason behind all that, and it's not a bad reason. It's a positive reason. It's to expand our horizons, expand the knowledge. I'm still part of the other teams. My whole big team is still Spirits of New England. I'll always be part of that team till they kick me off. So, not a founder. I'm just the guy that picked the street. So, you know.
Right.
You can be part of our team. Okay. Thank you. And that's the way it always was. That's the way I was always just parts of teams. So I decided I really wanted to kind of put together my own little conglomeration and expand the horizons a little bit. Part of that has to do with TV reasons. I like to see some more people on my other teams get more time on the shows, which would allow me to step away from those groups for the show purposes and allow more of them to be involved. And I would still be involved through Rensselaer Paranormal Research, so to speak. There's some heartaches about that in some ways. Like, well, we want you to represent spirits, but you'll be representing spirits. I won't have to. represent it.
Right. Exactly.
What does spirit stand for?
My God, you wouldn't have to ask that. I didn't come up with it. I didn't create it. It's long.
But let's see if I can remember it
off the top of my head. I can't.
You know, it really grinds my gears when San Antonio has their very own whore radio show, but nobody knows where to tune the hell in.
Guess who? I know all about The Basement Files. It's the show with host Jenna Valadez every Friday night. She talks about UFOs, demons, ghosts, time slips, scary dolls, and more. You should tune in on Para X Radio.
Okay. Herbert? Jesus Christ, where the hell did you come from? Where's it at?
I'll show you. Just follow me down the basement.
Okay. No thanks, though.
I'll give you a nice cold popsicle.
Ooh. Can we listen to The Basement Files show?
Okay. But if you get scared, I'll be right here beside you, holding your hand.
Ah, freaking sweet popsicle. Yay!
Supernatural,
paranormal,
intuitive research, investigations, truth society, something like that. Anyway, something like that. So, supernatural, paranormal, investigations, research, intuitive truth society. That's it. That is it. Yes. Okay.
That's about now, like.
He's looking up to see if I'm right. Do it. See if I'm right. I got our team's name right, by the way. It literally is Supernatural Paranormal Investigations Research Intuitive Truth Society. See, I did have it right. See,
there. Wow.
That's awesome. Nice. That's a mouthful right there.
That is. That's why we call it spirits.
Right? And that's why we're geeks.
Yeah, that's why we're geeks.
S-O-S.
So just make up the letters.
There's something in there. Supernatural organization of shit.
Supernatural organization of shit.
Supernatural organization society. SOS.
Wow, that came out better than mine.
Or supernatural organization of shit.
I love it.
Oh man.
We could come up with a name called Shits.
Supernatural, historical, intuitive,
technological, Shits.
You can throw truth in there again. Truth, whatever.
Society.
Society.
Oh, man.
Then when people come to you, then when you go to people's home, they can tell people they got the shits over at their house.
That is... We're not getting
proud.
I'm in a comedy show now.
It's pretty sad when we come in the room and the entities scatter.
Shit everywhere.
Oh, shit. Get out of here.
Oh, my word.
There's people called in the shits. Let's get out of here.
The demons are like, nope, I'm out.
Nope, I ain't doing this one. Or you have one that actually has you smell it. And they have to deal with it the rest of the time.
Sorry, ma'am. Your demon has the shits.
Just get some holy Lysol.
Holy Lysol.
Oh, they got the priest. Can you bless this for me? It's Lysol. Yeah, could you please bless it for me?
And break the shits.
Oh my God. That's bad.
Okay, we're going to have to pause for a quick break and we'll.
Yeah, we say a quick break.
Please do.
So we can go get the shit taken care of.
We need toilet paper.
I'll go get you some.
I'm a mummy when I need one.
35 miles east of Venus, or quite possibly closer, like along the Balcones fault line in South Texas. or maybe even the Eagle Ford Triangle. It's The Basement Files with Jenna Valadez.
This is Aaron Gillow from Ghost Adventures, and you're listening to Para-X Radio.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
I'm Darren Evans, author of The Zozo Phenomenon. You're listening to my good friends Shauna and Victoria on Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal, only at Para-X.com.
All right, but going back to you, Jack, because this show is about you.
Is it? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
it was a long break.
It's all right. We all needed that break. That's okay.
Yeah. But you said something about books.
It's a short list. It is a short list, so that's good. But I do have two books, and I have one comic book out. So. Graphic novel. That was actually the first thing I ever did. It was a graphic novel. It's called Spirits of Forgotten Souls of Bay Path. It's based on one of our team's investigations out of Springfield, Massachusetts. It involves an actual cemetery out there called Bay Path Cemetery, and it's a pauper cemetery, and there's no headstones whatsoever. There are, when you can find them, you need a metal detector to find them, these little brass, they're like discs, and they have a number on them, and that relates to the person's name in the book back in the county clerk's office. There's over 1,000 people buried in this little location, which is less than half the size of a football field. Think about that. So you got over 1,000 bodies buried in this one small little area. It took a husband and wife team several years to finally get the state to cough up some money to put a fence around it, because it was actually just looked like an open field. They put a fence around it. They put a sign up, and the Historical Society did put up one headstone, which really, when you read it, it's more of a monument to the Historical Society. Doesn't mention the people that are there. It just says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall whatever inherit the earth," or whatever. Earth, yeah. You know, it's that saying out of the Bible. And then it says, "Donated by the Springfield Historical Society."
Kind of sad.
I mean, there's no mention of really the people that are buried there.
That is sad, though.
Yeah. So this story connected to a case we were working on, and why the spirits of this cemetery were connected to the client that we were trying to help. So I won't give away the whole story. Buy the graphic novel. It's on Amazon. And then my second book was called Hauntings, Ghosts, and Demons. And that's also available on Amazon.com. It's six short stories, four of which are based on actual team investigations from Spirits of New England. Two are just totally made up, but it's really getting a lot of good reviews. A lot of people are really enjoying it. It doesn't sell online so much, but I don't push it that much. But it really sells well at the events and everything else I do. People are loving it. I mean, there's at least, I think, 11 or 12 reviews on there. They're all great reviews. What surprisingly feedback I've gotten from that book is that investigators in the field have gotten investigation techniques out of it.
Nice.
I had not thought about that when I wrote it. I did build in our team's investigation techniques and how we investigate things built into each of those stories. So it was interesting that that's what, you know, some people picked up on. It was like, hey, I learned set up something differently than I ever thought about before, or what to look for, to where to set up equipment and things like that, which I didn't really think about it, but that's part of it.
Yeah.
But they feel like being brought along on the investigations in those stories. Like they're part of the team that's investigating these locations. And that's what it was meant to do, make you part of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
The story. So and that's what people have been saying about it, and they find it hard to put down. They say that's me, you know, touting myself a little bit there, but it is what people have been saying about it. So And then my newest book is Paranormal Research, A Comprehensive Guide to Building a Strong Team. That was named by my publisher, Schiffer Publishing, out of Pennsylvania. It's a good title. I did help out with the cover on the book.
Sweet.
Yeah, they came up with something and I modified it a little bit, so it came out really well. This book is really about investigating the paranormal, our techniques that we use, how I like to approach things, the equipment that we use. From my perspective, being a technician for the Department of the Army, I know a lot of this equipment. I know what we really use it for and how it's supposed to be used. But I can relate that to how we can use it as paranormal investigators for what we do and how to use it to get the best possible chances of getting activity or collecting potential evidence with it. That goes the same for audio recorders, EMF meters, pretty much anything that's out there. Because one thing I talk about is, you know, nothing is designed to talk to spirits. I don't care what they say. It's not designed for that. It was never developed for that. Some of the stuff that's thrown together is supposedly developed for that, but that's not what this technology was really designed for. All that we're doing is taking pieces of other technology, putting them together and say, hey, we can communicate with ghosts with this, but that's not what it was designed to do. But that doesn't mean it can't. People ask me all the time, well, can anything really then be used to communicate? I said, yes, of course. I could take a feather, put it on a floor, and say, okay, if there's a spirit here, levitate the feather.
Yeah. Right?
And if it levitates on a consistent basis in answer to my questions, is that spirit communication? Potentially. Did I capture an EVP while that was going on? That would make it much more interesting. But potentially, you could use anything. You know, a pencil, roll the pencil across the floor, you know, spin it, turn it, do whatever, you know, but any electronic piece of equipment, especially the apps and stuff today that are for ghost hunting, and I do use one. I use Ghost Radar a lot. I've experimented with it for, you know, 5 of the 7 years I've been, it's almost 8 years now, so more like 5 of the 8 years I've been using that app. I just experimented with it and just validated anything with the words coming through to the history of a location. Did the words come through match? Did I get an EVP at the same time? In a lot of cases, I did. I was getting responses with other devices and other things at the same time. I was getting responses with that. So it's not just, okay, so Kenneth says that app, whatever's coming through is a spirit talking. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying potentially it could be.
Right.
But I do this. It gives you, by the words that come through, by the responses you get with, if you're using it, you know you get blips that come through. And what I do with those blips, there's different energy blips. Red is high energy, blue is low energy, green, yellow is like medium energy. But what I do with it is almost use it kind of like a K2, but I say, give me 2 blips for yes and 1 for no.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I get responses to that on a regular basis to the questions I'm asking, or ask the same question twice or 3 times in a different way and see if you get the same response. 2 blips for yes, 1 for no. And if you start getting that consistently, then maybe you're on to something, and it gives you a better way to ask better questions, to follow a train of thought. What is this spirit trying to communicate? If I'm hitting on something, I want to keep following that train of thought. So that's, I talk about that in there. I do talk about the apps in the book, talk about tons of pieces of equipment, but I try to keep it limited to some of the more basic stuff for now in this book, just for like beginners, even for, you know, like longtime investigators like ourselves. But I do try to keep it a fun read at the same time. I mean, if you read my Hauntings, Ghosts, and Demons, I almost wrote this other book in the same type of manner, trying to keep you engaged, asking you questions in the book to make you think. I'm not looking for a response. I want you to think about it. So in times, I will ask you, the reader, a question and let you think on that. And see what you come up with yourself, you know?
Right.
Well, you know, sometimes I'll make a statement. I'll say, now, wait a minute. Hear me out before you jump on it. I literally say that. And I will say that. Before you say I'm full of S-H-I-T.
Back to that.
Back to that.
I you know, go that direction with it. And then also included in that book is several of our team's actual investigations, what we really did. what we really happened, how we really set up the equipment, why we chose to set up the equipment the way we did, in the locations that we did, talk about the entire investigation, what happened, what stuff we caught as far as evidence in the end. And then there's a little at the end of each one, there's an insight from one of our actual team investigators about what that investigation meant to them, what they got out of it, and maybe how they were impacted by it. As far as, you know, sometimes it really hit them home, you know, right. Hit home, and it really meant something more than what it was. And I give my own insights on it a little bit, of their perspective of it. And so there's a little bit of that. So it's something to kind of make you, wow, I never thought about that when I was investigating before. What did this really mean to me? And what did I get out of it? And how did it affect my life in maybe some aspects? So we talk about all this different stuff in the book, and it's been getting some good reviews. There's only a couple on there right now, but people have been telling me, and I'm like, write it on Amazon. Will you go on Amazon? Give it a review.
Right.
You know, let other people know what you're thinking about it, because it's been getting some really good feedback as well. And the fun thing about that book is I just recently submitted to my local college, Hudson Valley Community College, a proposal to do a course, paranormal course, using that book, which I called them ahead of time and talked to them about it, and they're actually kind of interested in it. So they asked me to submit a proposal for a course for that. It would be a 6-session course. Between sessions 5 and the last session 6, we would do an investigation of an actual haunted local location, and then for the last class, we'd come back and go over the evidence that everybody found and talk about what their experiences were there and what they got out of it and what they learned from investigating. So it could be for anybody. Maybe it could be for people who've been investigating for a while to newbies to it. So we're going to see if that flies. That would not happen until April, until the spring, because right now they're just booking classes or looking at proposals for the spring continuing education classes. So that's what it would be, as a under continuing education. But
would
now I've been
talking,
I never thought about that.
What'd you ask?
It'd be really cool, because I wouldn't mind signing up for it.
Oh, online. Like, yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
Class to take, just, I mean, to technically refine some skills.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I guess I could. I never thought about it. Of course, you know. Could Skype people into the class. Yeah. Gotta figure out how to get you up for the investigation. Yeah.
Hey, I heard EVP over that thing.
You know, a gift card for the investigation.
Yes, gift card for the, yeah. So, but, I mean, this is just things. Actually, it's not, you laugh a little bit, but I've been asked recently at events I've done in other locations, Vermont most recently, oh, are you going to do that at our local college up here? And I'm like, no, not really, not at the moment, you know, because I'd have to take a week off from work to go do that. So maybe when I retire, maybe I retire another year or so from my real job, I can go do that. I wouldn't have to go to state for a full week or a week and a half and really do that. So it gets a little complicated when you try to do that as a class for college in another state. But right, it's always a possibility. It's always a possibility. We'll see. We'll see if they even accept it and see how it goes. But maybe, yeah, maybe something online that, you know,
yeah,
we could Skype it.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
We could have a common meeting area to do an investigation at the very end.
That works.
Yeah. You know, it's a matter of saying, okay, we all got to come to here, though, you know.
Right.
Even out of the online stuff, you're right. Probably people could get some good information out of it. I didn't think of that. That's food for thought.
Well, when you talk about your equipment and all that, what is your favorite piece of equipment?
Not speaking other than myself, you would say.
Yes.
Yeah. The audio recorder. I mean, just an audio recorder, because that's where you get most of your stuff. It's the disembodied voices or the EVPs or, you know, I mean, that's really my favorite piece, you know. TV hates that because it's not instantaneous, so, you know.
Right. The spirit box or the paddle box, right. Or the...
Yeah, no, stuff that gives immediate responses. Well, I can do a burst session. That's not the same thing, though.
Have you ever... What kind of EVPs? Have you had any that are, like, full sentences or any that, like, really just stuck out in your mind as, like, wow, that's amazing?
I got a few that were basically one or two worders that really stuck with me. One was at the Fairbanks house in Dedham, Massachusetts. It's a Fairbanks family in America. It's a historical site built in 30-something. But I caught an EVP in one of the upstairs bedrooms. I had a sneezing fit while I was up there. And I didn't realize it was paranormal related until I stepped out of the room. Because it started almost the minute I walked in the room, and it stopped the minute I left the room.
Oh, wow.
Between that time, it was me and my investigator, Sarah Campbell. We were in there. I start sneezing. I'm sneezing. She got tired of saying bless you after the first 5 minutes. But I get this EVP of an older woman's voice just towards the end saying, bless you.
Wow. Oh, wow.
In my lectures, people know at the minute they says, bless you. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Everybody just, you know, oh, you bless you. You're sneezing. That's too bad. You know? And sorry, I'm causing you to sneeze. You know? So that's one of my favorite ones. And then there was one on the USS Constitution. And it's a young boy's voice that we captured. I actually captured his voice several times during that investigation. But this one was interesting. It was on the second night of the investigation, and the bosun's mate was with us. He's like third in command on that ship. He was telling us about, we're on the gun deck, and he's talking about the front, the bow of the ship and the gun deck. He's talking about it being the manger area, which in the 1800s where they kept live animals for food. They'd butcher them as they needed them because there's no refrigeration, so you right. gotta have back then. So he goes, oh, they kept cows, pigs, chickens, and you hear me go, hmm. Then you hear this young boy's voice go, and a bear.
Oh, wow.
And it's in a heavy New England accent, so we weren't sure what it said at first. We played it for the commander and his officers at the reveal, and the commander is like 3 feet from me at the other side of the table. I see his jaw drop, and he turns around, his eyes widening. He goes to his office, he goes, Commodore Scrappy, and we're like, "What, sir? We don't know what you're talking about." And they're like, "Yeah, yeah, Commodore Scrappy. What are you talking about? Black bear cub they kept on the ship as a mascot in 1932." And we're like, "What? We didn't know this yet."
Oh my god! Wow!
Wow! That's awesome.
The more interesting thing about that, Evie, is that we looked up all the boys that died on the ship, and in the 1800s they had through early 1900s they had boys. On the ship, they were designated as boys. They were ages 6 to 16. That was their designation. They were called a boy. They were crew members. And think of them as they were also called the powder monkeys because they used to run down and put the powder up from the stores to bring during the battles. But there was 5 boys that died on the ship. Just 5. Mm-hmm. All died in the 1800s. Two fell from the mast.
Oh.
Two died of bilious fever, which is dysentery, and 2 drowned, right? But they all died in the 1800s. So how does a boy who died in the 1800s know about a black bear in 1932?
Right? And telling you
intelligent about spirits.
Wow.
Well, there, his intelligence, who he is, still exists.
Yes.
It speaks to life after death.
Absolutely. Oh,
sweet. I just got chills from
that. Oh, I know, right?
That's why that one is so special to me. That's what really kid has been dead since the 1800s, but he was hanging out with this black bear on the ship in 1932. Right. Like a maybe 12, 13, 14 year old boy. That would be so cool. It's like, mm-hmm. And it's like he's giving the tour. I always say, think of it this way. The voice just says, and a bear, but it's probably more like he's going, and a bear. Don't forget to tell him about the bear.
Right.
You know, we had a bear on the ship. Don't forget to tell him. To a kid that age would be the coolest thing ever, right? Sleeping with that bear, you know, and playing with it. Why is the bear playing with nothing? No, he's not. He's playing with the kid.
You know? Got the kid in there. There's a kid. Don't you see the kid?
Oh. Oh, my gosh. I can like, get my mind just going on a whole fictional story.
Oh gosh, as a mom though. Oh my goodness.
I know, but I still like, you know, my mind with the writing and the fictional story.
Whoever this boy is, because we tried to find out, there's only 1 of 5 choices anyway. Whoever he is, he seems very happy and very content on that ship.
Yeah.
In no time we ever heard his voice did he seem like he was upset or lost or anything. In fact, he was messing with us. You're asking. Mm-hmm. One of our investigators actually saw his face.
Wow.
Nice.
Other crew members had seen him different times in the past. This young boy, like 12, 13 year old boy, running around the ship in older style clothing and barefoot, which would be normal for like the 1800s.
Right.
And so the people had seen him, and he's like got blondish colored hair, and people have even seen him where he seems real. He's like got these bright blue eyes and all this stuff. But he's running around this ship, and he was messing with us. We had a door that would close when we asked it to close. And at one of the times it's closing on the video, you can hear him laughing in the background.
Aww. Like, yeah, I got you.
Pretty close, and he goes, so
I would love to hear these.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have. You can go on. Actually, they're on our website. You can go on the website and you can check them out. It's spiritsofnewengland.org, and it's under our evidence stuff there, and it's all on there because it's actually part of the book I was telling you about, paranormal research. So you can go in there, go online, and review a lot of this audio and video that we captured there. As part of. It's actually connected in with the book. That's the other thing of the book. It's interactive in a way where you can really go and check out what we caught from all these different investigations.
Sweet.
Nice. So going to have to get this book.
Oh, yeah. I want a comic book, too.
Right. Well, I'm going to buy it. Yeah. Yes! All right. We'll give you our P.O. box.
Yeah. But the address when the time comes, or you know, you got my Facebook, and I will mail you out a copy of it.
Oh, sweet.
Thank you. With yes. A great big long.
Please, like,
So besides filming this weekend, what other events and stuff do you have coming up?
We have we're filming Friday and Saturday, and then we're also doing an event Saturday night at the Oliver House in Massachusetts, and that's our last event for the year. My God, I've done enough this year.
It's time for a break.
Actually, I'm really not getting a break. On the 17th, I got to go down and finish up a case in Brooklyn, New York. Then I'll have a short break for a little bit, and then we've got a case investigation scheduled for in January. So I do want to take kind of the holidays off and not really have to do anything for the holidays. I don't think people want me in their houses for the holidays anyway. So
I'll just dress up like Santa. Come down their chimney.
I don't have to do that anymore. My kids are all grown up now. I don't have to do that.
I know, and you have seven
kids.
Wow.
Grandkids, and they're out in California, so all three of the girls are out in California now. One is in the Marine Corps. My daughter, Laura, is in the Marine Corps. She is a medical technician. She's working out there. Her wife is in the Army. She just went in the Army. She's doing really well. She's finished with basic and has gone on to MP school now because she has a degree in criminal justice. So she's probably going to end up being an officer there at some point.
Yeah, you know, she should as soon as she graduates.
Then our daughter with the two grandkids is out there in California making her way in life right now. And I got two boys. My oldest son is finishing up college. My youngest son is in his second year of college. Wow. He wants to become a doctor. My oldest son is finishing up his master's, so he's got 6 years of college after he graduates this year. So he'll be going to work. And then our other son is looking at going into the Coast Guard. And then I have another son who has autism, and he's doing really well. He's finishing up at the school he goes to and stuff this year. Then moving on to other things too. So yeah, lots of kids, lots of stuff. Hard to believe I actually made it with the kids to Disney twice. So you know,
Brian, wow. I'm just trying to figure out how you had time for all of this with seven kiddos.
No.
I wasn't doing all the. I mean, I didn't.
Do you have a cape under there? Is there a cape? Yeah. Are you like Superman?
He's like Luke Cage.
He did a little.
With seven kids, it was a cage in that house all the time. You know? Yeah, but they're all doing well and everything's going good. That's why I don't have much hair on my head anymore.
That's why I dye my hair. I have three, so.
You got started because your mother was interested in the paranormal, correct?
My mother. I would say my mother was psychic. She would never say that, but she was. She had the gift. She always knew when stuff was going on. But we used to talk about it all the time. She had her own paranormal experiences. growing up and stuff, and she saw her father at the door after after his wake. She saw, you ever see, she told me when they were burying her mother, you ever see the picture of the praying hands of God?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's in the sky, and she saw her mother.
Oh. Wow.
She literally just about passed out at her mother's gravesite, and her brothers had to catch her. So she had, and there was a lot more than that, but she had a lot of experience. She used to tell me about all these, and I had my own experiences, little things. I'd hear my mother calling my name, but it wasn't my mother calling my name. I'd go and say, I was a little kid. I was like 5, 6, 7 years old. And Mom, what do you want? You're calling? No, I'm not calling you. She's down doing the laundry, or she'd be outside in her garden. I was in the house just playing or watching TV. I'd say, what do you want? What do you want? I'd find her out. What do you want, Mom? What do you mean? Well, I didn't call you. Well, I found out years later, a good psychic friend of mine, Becca Boyd, who's actually put me on my direction into the psychic realm, that it was my maternal grandmother, my mother's mother, who would and try to get my attention. And that's who it always was. And still does it to this day sometimes. I'm like, nah, Grandma, I'm not going to work today. It's okay, I'm sleeping. I'll be awake and I'll hear it. I'm not sleeping. I'm not asleep.
Right.
I'm waking and they're going, I'll just take the day off. And then I'll just close my eyes and I'll hear her call me. And I'll open my eyes, I'll hear it again. I'm like, no, Grandma, it's okay. I'm not going to work today. I'm taking the day off. It stops. So I think once she knows that, I think she thinks, oh, my God, he's going to be late for work. Hurry up, get him going. You know? Occasionally, it still happens.
Good looking out.
It is. And it's nothing bad. Just lots of different stuff.
I totally understand.
Well, what's weird is I've had that experience since I was little, but it started off with a male voice.
Yeah.
And now it's a female voice that calls me every once in a while. And I'll go, maybe, Mom, are you calling me?
Well, I mean, I have the belief that, you know, once you get over there, you pretty much can say
whatever you want, be whatever you want.
Be whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, be able to talk in every language and understand every language.
I don't know about that, but
it's a possibility. Maybe. I mean,
why not? You're not limited to your flesh anymore.
Well, no,
so why not?
But you're still limited to your intelligence, aren't you?
No, I don't think so.
No, that depends, doesn't it?
It does.
You cross over. So. If you cross over, you left all that baggage behind.
Yeah.
We're gods. No, I'm just kidding.
You go to the next level. So right? What?
That's true.
I mean, exactly.
You level up.
Come back.
You level up. Yeah, you level up.
Level up. I'm leveling up. I gotta learn English correctly for once.
I know, right?
Like suddenly your proper English is set. I think you still have your personalities, which would get you to talk the way you normally do. But I think that if someone that came in there that was French or German was talking to you, I think you'd be able to understand them.
You'd be able to understand them, and I'd be able to talk to them in a French Southern accent.
Maybe.
Well, what I mean is language only for our sake? Is it not even language?
Right.
Oh,
and like inquiring minds, right?
Is it just thought? Pure, because if it's pure thought,
there's
no language involved.
Maybe everybody's actually connected on the other side.
Oh my gosh! And people can know what everybody's thinking, and then you get the in your head and
we're back to that.
conglomerate mass. It's all melted together.
And you hear everybody going off at once, and it's like,
I got what it is. All the people from this world become part of the sun. That's a big bright mass.
That's it.
Pure energy.
Like little fireflies going into a light.
Solar flares every once in a while.
Solar flare is somebody getting really pissed off.
Somebody just kicked somebody. Over, you're taking my space.
My bad.
I was throwing the new souls that are falling into it.
Oh my lord.
Your orb is in my eye right now.
Your ectoplasm is all over me. Stop it.
Stop it.
Oh my goodness. Well, okay. So next year you're starting the new year doing what?
Actually an investigation. It will be in January. That's scheduled right now. We have some alternative dates in case of snow days, but it'll be an investigation of an inn. an old inn, which is now being used as a bar. I can't say where, but it's outside New York State, just outside New York State, heading east. So I can say that much. And that'll be the very first thing. And then we've got another investigation after that in like February or something. And then come April, then the next thing will be Salem Con in April, April 6th. And then an investigation event down in Tennessee with some friends of mine down there called Rednecks and Rainbows Paranormal. And so I'll be doing an event down there with them. Then there's, my God, I got Fort Mifflin in June. I've got Battlefield Bash again in Gettysburg, and I believe that's going to be July. Wow. I'll be doing some investigating with a friend of mine of a couple locations after that. He's also on Haunted Case Files, and he's also on Haunted Hospitals. So you'll be seeing me and him do that stuff. I just don't want to say the name right now, just in case he didn't want me advertising that. So I won't give the name out. But he's also an author and stuff too, well known.
Awesome.
So do you have another book that you're expecting to come out soon?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get it done over the winter. Although I was kind of sick for a while, gotten that kind of straightened out now. But yes, I do have another book I'm working on, and it's a little bit different than any other paranormal book that's been put together so far, I think, by anyone. And it has to do with certain individuals within the paranormal. It's a positive book about how the paranormal has helped these individuals, what it means to them, and where they're going with their own stories with it, and what they've experienced and what they've had to go through in their past to get where they are now. And again, because of the paranormal, it helped them to get through these different things. So it's a little bit different book. I don't want to give much way than that at this point. Some people do know what it is, some people don't. So, but I think you ladies would find it a very interesting.
Awesome.
I think most women in the paranormal, at least, paranormal would find it a very interesting read.
Does it come with a box of chocolates and a tissue?
It could. Yeah,
I could make that. I'll take beef jerky with mine.
Beef jerky.
Taking individual orders. I'll have to open a restaurant. Oh, no, I don't want one of those posh Chemistry Jacks books. Orders, wine and
wine and hot wings.
Jerky wings, whatever.
Whatever.
If we don't have it, we'll order it out for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, everybody can find you, your books on Amazon.com.
BarnesandNoble.com. All the actual, I think, books are on both of those. Yeah, you probably will be honest, you'll probably find your best deal on Amazon.com. But, and for anybody local to me, some of my books are in the local Barnes and Noble right now. I did a book signing just a month or so ago, and some of my signed copies of my book are over in Barnes & Noble in Colony Center in Albany, New York right now. So if you're local to me, you can go over there and actually pick up a signed copy.
That's one hell of a drive.
Right off the show, so.
It might be worth it.
Maybe.
We still owe him a beer.
We owe you a beer. That's one hell of a drive for a beer, too.
Yeah, one beer and is good. That's a beer. But yes. That's everything that's going on right now. And again, you can also find all the links to it. You can find me on Facebook. Just look up Jack Kenna. You will find me there on Facebook, either through my fan page or my regular page, which is filling up quickly. So get me while you can. Just close to 5,000. So once it hits, woo! I'm going to have to go through and try to remove some people that aren't around or something anymore. I try to keep up with that, you know, or some of the fake ones. If I got some fake ones on there, I'll have to remove them and get rid of them, you know. But yeah, we are getting close. But you can find me there, and also you can always get to everything through our spiritsofnewengland.org website. Check us out there. So
awesome.
We are so glad you were on our show.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your patience and your awesomeness.
This is so quick.
I know.
Right.
This is the quickest interview ever.
It seemed like 3 hours.
Well, I would love to have you back.
You are awesome. Yes. We're so glad to have you here. And
anytime next year back, we'll be able to talk about that new book, and we can able. So, you know, oh my God, there's two paranormal magazines. Paranormal Underground magazine. Check that out. You can check that out online. But Alex King writes the magazine. It's coming out with a new magazine. It was on hiatus for a little bit, but it is coming back. And myself and Ellen McNeil are going to be probably in the second issue for 2019. Living Paranormal. Yes, you can buy that on Amazon. Yes, he puts issues out there on Amazon, and I do have articles in some of the magazine that are online there, so you can check those out. But he has a lot of other good writers, great writers for him. He's a great writer himself. And yes, and then Paranormal Underground magazine as well. So check those out. They're great magazines. They cover a lot of different stuff in the paranormal. Black Eyed Children and the Dybbuk Box and all kinds of stuff.
The Dybbuk Box.
So, I did a lot of writing for Paranormal Ground magazine for equipment articles and stuff like that initially. But they're good magazines. Check them out.
Awesome.
So glad to have you.
Welcome back anytime.
To those of you who are already supporting the show with a monthly subscription, thank you.
And if you're not already a supporter, and you'd like to help make this show and future investigations possible,
tap the link in this episode's description or visit
www.anchor.fm/geeks-paranormal
to become a monthly supporter.
Mm-hmm.
How much is it going to cost them?
Yeah, I don't know. Depending on what they want to give us.
What do you want to give us? A dollar?
$2?
$5?
$8? That goes lower.
$1.25!
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
It's been fun exploring the paranormal with you.
Stay tuned next week on
Exploring the Paranormal with Geeks Paranormal.
We are now being taken over by aliens.